roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called...
Welcome. Welcome to Stab. You guys ready to meet your contestants? Okay, good. Coming to the stage, we've got Jesse Jones again. Again. This could be the 36th show he's been on, I think. 36 shows. Also, sitting in the middle seat, we've got Giuliana Gabrielli. Giuliana Gabrielli. This is her third time on the show. And then right here, we have Corinne Nelson, her first time on the show, first time ever. Can you believe it? I don't believe it. Corinne, welcome. Thank you for being on the show for the first time. Yay! Corinne, I don't know if you guys knew this, is a highly esteemed crew member. She owns, was it 17 Taco Bells in the north?
18.
18, sorry.
As of yesterday.
Oh my God, thank congratulations. Congratulations. Giuliana, she's the founder of Grease. The actual.
That's true. That's all true.
The country.
Everything he says about me is gonna be true.
You could talk into a microphone.
Everything he says about me is gonna be true.
All right. She's the founder of Grease. Country and musical. Jesse Jones. Huh? Didn't you?
You're gonna get into this one, huh?
You sawed a log that was 36 inches and 84.6 seconds.
Yeah,
and that's fast.
It was fast. I was told it was fast.
All right. Hey guys, let's play Stab. All right. This segment is called Celebration Time. Nelson, Corinne, much to the chagrin of womankind, on this day, 1931, American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer Ike Turner was birthed into this world. Also on this day, 1943, the Vatican was bombed on account of World War II. How did your celebration manifest itself in regards to the aforementioned events?
Yes, the chagrin of womankind.
Yes.
All of the women in all of the places.
Yes.
Chagrined.
Yeah.
About Ike Turner.
Yes.
Specifically.
Yes.
Not domestic violence, just Ike Turner.
Just Ike Turner,
just
yeah.
Just Ike Turner, okay.
Yes.
So, you know,
I fear I've offended, like, all feminist kind.
I'm really glad I didn't get the Ike Turner one.
It's not that. It's just, you know, you've got the woman in Kyrgyzstan with the 18 children who's like, oh, I remember when my parents were dragged away by the Soviet soldiers. And I remember my mother, she say, oh, that Ike Turner. He is such a bastard. I am full of the chagrin. He made the Tina Turner get on the crack. She could have been such good artist. Instead, she was just pop singer.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not that we're offended. It's just, you know, there's other issues out there. Anyway, so back to the question. What you were saying is, well, clearly it's a woman's issue day.
Yes.
What we do is, well, I mean, the Basilica is a big issue, too. I mean, the World War II.
Yes.
As all good Catholic women must, we take a big tile that has a picture of the Basilica on it, the Basilica of St. Peter in the Vatican.
Okay.
We get really, really drunk, and then we break it.
Okay.
And then we beat ourselves.
Oh, that's good.
All the while singing the hymn of Turner. Which is not the Ike Turner songs. No. It's the one about the stripper and the prostitute.
You don't know this song? How old are you? Come on. Come on. Seriously.
Mid-30s. The one about
The stripper and the prostitute.
It's a Turner song?
Yes. It's a Tina Turner song.
Oh. Private Dancer?
Private Dancer.
Of course I know that song.
It's clearly the only hymn we would use. It's a woman's empowerment thing.
Could you sing it?
No. That's meant for holy days.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Corinne, thank you for that was your first segment. The first segment. Yeah. Juliana Gabrielli. How are you? You need to grab the microphone and talk into it.
I'm used to holding it when I'm on step.
You could just go ahead and utilize.
Can we just get rid of the stand?
The equipment.
Okay. Well, you know, I own Greece.
You have to hold it to your face.
We're not having the stand in the way.
You have to hold it to your. Would you stop mothering? You're mothering right.
You are the minority here on stage.
That's yeah. Right.
No stand. Okay.
I still know how to use a microphone.
Oh, that hurt a little bit.
Maybe it's so much that women comedians aren't funny. They just don't know hold the mic. We can't hear you guys. If you were more audible. Hey, Gabrielli, on this date, 1971, Bolivia passed the death penalty for political kidnapping. You know what else happened on this exact date in 1935? Parker Brothers launched the game of Monopoly. How was your time spent honoring these pair of happenings?
Today, I think, is an important day. Life-changing. I'm not really sure what happened. My dad, who I love, who came to America to escape jail time for kidnapping an important Brazilian businessman. Oops, I didn't mean to tell you that. We came to America and adapted pretty quickly. I mean, my parents decorate for President's Day. It doesn't matter that the only job he can get here is a cab driver. He still loves America so much that every year on this day we play Monopoly to celebrate that the same rich motherfuckers are still running the country. It was weird, though, because once he landed on go to jail in the game, he said he needed to go get cigarettes, and he hasn't been back.
Oh.
It's been 5 hours and the game isn't over yet, and my mom's getting really mad because she has to be the iron. I think my mom is getting frustrated playing the iron and the shoe. Okay. I told them we should have just played Scattergories, but nobody ever wants to listen to me. I hope my dad comes back soon. I hate to be like all you other stupid American-born women without dads. I don't want to be a stripper. Or worse, a Kardashian.
Oh. A stripper or a private dancer. You don't want to be a private dancer.
They're always sad.
Jesse.
Hi there.
Jesse Jones. This really is his 32nd show in a row.
Something like that.
In 1967, on this day, the Hither Green rail crash in the United Kingdom kills 49 people. Mm-hmm. Survivors include Robin Gibb of the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Stayin' Alive joke somewhere, I hope.
Oh.
I hope. Okay. Also,
I won't disappoint.
Also on today's date, 1941, Art Garfunkel was born. What did you make of these two occasions?
Well, initially, on the surface, these two events seem to be entirely unrelated.
Oh.
But that's just what two of history's greatest criminal masterminds, Robin Gibb and Art Garfunkel, want you to think. I knew that John wouldn't send me something so seemingly pointless, trivial, and not at all worth anyone's time. Unless it was a puzzle he knew that only I could unravel. Accepting the challenge and his faith in my abilities, I began to dig deeper. And before long, the astonishing, unbelievable truth was plain as day. It was so obvious that anyone with an internet connection and a lapse in their antipsychotics prescription could easily peel back the layers of this conspiracy onion just as I had. All it would take was someone brave enough to lock themselves in a dark room for 36 to 48 hours with a specific purpose of making these connections, no matter how preposterous and coincidental they may have seemed. And I was just that someone. The clues were all there. like threads just waiting to be woven into a crazy tapestry on a lunatic's loom. The most horrifying were also the most obvious. October 1966, 13 months before the accident. Folk duo of Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel released the album Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme. Though this collection of catchy folk tunes may seem innocent enough to the uncrazied eye, once viewed through the prism of trying to tie its relevance to a completely unrated train accident, side one of the album reads like a nightmarish manifesto, written by a diseased mind outlining the insidious plan which would soon unfold. Track three, Cloudy. No doubt in reference to the expected conditions of an early November English countryside. Followed by Homeward Bound. Clearly a cruel joke mocking the innocent passengers destined to perish almost exactly 1 month, almost exactly a little more than a year after the album's release. The big, bright, green pleasure machine followed. The next track, an obvious jab at the Hither Green itself. As Art Garfunkel was known to be an outspoken, even militant opponent of rail travel, often deriding trains themselves as decadent, deviant, rolling steel ribbons of orgy boxes. And finally, track six, the 59th Street Bridge Song. A tribute to what is more commonly known as the Queensboro Bridge. And what country has a queen? That's right, England! Open your eyes, people. The truth is so close it could lick you. But the morbid musical taunts extend out well past the frizzy Jufro of Arthur Garfunkel. The most depraved being from Hither Green crash survivor Robin Gibb himself. So brazen and grotesque was Robin's disdain for his fellow passengers and innocent bystanders of his madness that day. His taunt became an anthem for millions of unwitting accomplices. With the assistance of his brothers, better known as the BGs, he would openly mock the 49 souls who perished around him that day with a mammoth disco smash released exactly 10 years and 10 days after the crash. Arrogantly titled, Stayin' Alive. The actual lyrics of this despicable tome ridiculing the dead, literally laughing, ah, ha, ha. Staying alive. I have so much more that I actually cut. I actually cut so much. I've got the rest out. With little effort, I was also able to tie the theory of Paul McCartney's 1966 demise and subsequent assassination of John Lennon into this terrible web of death woven by Gibb and Garfunkel. But I'm not sure you're ready to hear that now, and I know I've already said too much. So as you see, John, there is nothing to celebrate today, except for a horrible truth that we can no longer hide from.
That was celebration time. This is Stab. This next segment is called Reorganization. Take these existing acronyms and reimagine them. What does a new acronym stand for? What and or who does it now represent? Nelson, Corinne Nelson, you were given UNICEF. Giuliani Gabrielli, you were given YMCA. Jesse Jones, you were given ISIS. Corinne, give us UNICEF. What is it now? What is it? What did it stand for before? What is it?
I don't know. Something about kids.
Okay.
Or
good.
Something like.
All right. What does it stand for now?
What it actually stands for is unwed, neurotic, introverted, childless, eccentric females.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the thing. I know the other UNICEF is about those little people. Okay. Our people, though, have been much maligned over time. There is an incredibly politically incorrect word that's been used to describe us, and We're trying right now to put out an internet thing to raise awareness about what we're actually about. And the word, I hate saying it, cat lady. If you go to Twitter, John.
Yes.
Twitter.
Thank you. There is a hashtag, not all cat ladies. And you can go there to find out more information about who we actually are as people. There's some myths out there. First of all, the myth that all cat ladies have cats. This is, it's not true. Some cat ladies have the little tiny dogs that they push in strollers. Some cat ladies have budgies. Some cat ladies have no animals at all, and they're reduced to going down to a park and feeding the ducks or the pigeons or the squirrels. And you have never felt what it's like to connect to another being until you have had a squirrel crawl down your shirt, nestle between your breasts to get a nut that you have dropped. Myth number two, hoarders. We are not all hoarders. Not all cat ladies are hoarders, okay? It's really, the ones who have it, it's not that they're hoarding. If any of you have seen the show on Animal Planet, My Cat from Hell with Jackson Galaxy, who any woman would be proud to have his fur babies with. You don't laugh at Jackson Galaxy.
I'm sorry.
He is a saint. Cats need a 3D space. They need a place to go and hide. So that's what all of that junk, quote unquote, is for. It's a jungle gym for kitties. Myth number three, we smell like cat piss. This isn't a myth as much as, okay, we smell like cat piss, but if you stick around us for long enough, you don't even notice anymore, so it's fine. So hashtag, not all cat ladies.
Not all cat ladies. Great job. I'm sure that hashtag will be at the top of the Twitter kingdom.
We're trying.
Soon. Giuliana Gabrielli, the acronym you were given was YMCA. YMCA.
Your Mom's Cunt Association. I know I could have come up with a better response to this, but I didn't know when I'd get the chance to put your mom and cunt together ever again. I bet your mom is a really nice person. You should probably give her a call. My mom is kind of a badass. Also, I would really like to use this as an opportunity, which is why this Your Mom's Cunt Association is a thing. It's to tell all you guys to stop calling women cunts because they won't sleep with you. Get a dictionary and learn how to deal with rejection. Your mom's cunt, 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 cunt. Motherfucking cunt. Your mom's cunt association. Sorry, mom.
Okay. All right. My mother was a cunt. No, she's a dead cunt. Jesse Jones.
Uh-huh.
The acronym you were given was ISIS.
Yes.
What does it stand for now?
Well, ISIS is actually a punctuational error. By simply adding a comma and a question mark, you get the name of the amateur philosophical discussion group known as Is. Is defined as the third person singular present of be. Is poses the question to its members, do we be? And perhaps even more importantly, am we are. Some popular lectures from the past have included Be We Are Us or Is They Are, which question the essence of is, our relation to am, and unlocking the potential of be. This week, we will revisit one of the topics which our group was founded to analyze, is we am? What else am is? Because if we truly am, do we be are? And if the point of am be do, how do is we? Is do am? Or does we are be by whom we when? For when we am most be, are then is? Since we first was be, us never didn't wonder when what am is.
God.
For we am most is when us be am. Through the use of proven metaphysical interrogation techniques such as cognitive thought hiving, remote consciousness bullying, and verb tense manipulation, this thought-provoking discussion series attempts to unravel these age-old questions and more. Often ultimately leading to the questions like, do we even know what we're talking about? Or who brought coffee this week and how much do I owe them? So just ask yourself, is the answer might confuse you.
That was reorganization. Oh. This still is Stab. This next segment is called Write an Angry Poem About It. Write an angry poem, not write a angry poem about it. Write an angry poem about it. The poems that were given out were A Broken Roomba, Why People Love Zumba, and Your Barren Woomba. Womb, womb. Corinne, write an angry poem about a broken Roomba.
Oh, I did.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. I was told that we live in the future with robotic servants at heel. But now I am getting a suture. iRobot, this wasn't our deal. I should have known that something was wrong when my cat vanished from sight. Yes, I should have guessed all along. A laughing vacuum just ain't right. The company said they're not at fault, and the constraints of their warranty would not cover assault, self-awareness, or a murderous spree. They told me to just call the coppers, left me to clean the blood from my room. So take a heed, all Amazon shoppers. Save your money and get a damn brew.
Good job. There's a lot happening during that poem. All right. Juliana Gabrielli. You were asked to, first of all, you were asked to speak in the microphone. Second of all, you were asked to have written.
You were asked to turn your cell phone off.
Thank you. That wasn't my cell phone.
Oh, in my face.
I was taking a picture.
Okay.
That was weird. Juliana, you were to have written a poem of Why People Love Zumba. Why People Love Zumba.
Okay. Well, I misread the directions.
Fantastic.
Like I always do. And I thought it was supposed to be an angry poem about Zumba, and I actually hate Zumba.
Okay.
But it's you'll hear it. Okay. And I've been seeing a lot of stuff about basic bitches on Facebook. So, all right. Basic bitches love basic things like pumpkin spice lattes and diamond rings. I don't fit in. They love fad diets and they're afraid of silence. They go to the club to dance on ladies' night, but never been told that they're too fat to tap dance, that is. Basic bitches never been fat. That's why they're bitches. They never had to develop a personality. Mm. They get sucked into pyramid schemes. I know a girl who's a pyramid instructor, a Zumba instructor, and also a she's like in a pyramid scheme thing. Oh, sure. Anyway, they get sucked into pyramid schemes and usually mean. They go to Zumba because they know they, I can hear you up here. They know. Continue your conversation. They know they can't really dance, but they don't want you to think they but they want you to think they can. Fuck basic bitches, pumpkin spice latte, Zumba. If you need me, I'm going to smoke a bowl before I'm going to the Broadway dance studio to keep me from killing you. That's what I wrote.
Okay. Was that
Thank you.
All right. Jesse Jones, please have written a poem.
I did.
In regards to the instruction.
They're
your barren
outside.
Womb. Your
hey
barren womb.
yes, my barren womb. Sorry.
Let's hear it.
I finally tried slam again, so we'll see
okay.
if this works.
Okay. Slam poetry.
Let's let them.
You walked the room with
Bye,
all
guys.
About a barren womb.
Okay.
Okay.
I am man. That means that I can, usually upon demand, open a jar with my own bare hands. But not even maybe. With no amount of man gravy and determination unwavy, can I make a baby. Without even a shrug, I can dispatch that bug, which sets you to shrieking so wild. But the two-bitter pill is that it's easier to kill than to gestate my very own child. It just doesn't follow. No matter how much seed I swallow, my stomach remains hollow. Just a creamy reminder that even if I grind your root into my hinder, nature is unkind. Her gift of life, I will not find there. But I'm not gonna lie. I know how hard I would cry, but not for the miracle I'd see. I'd most likely die if a miniature guy clawed its way out of the hole that I pee. And I'd never have the heart to one day impart that their precious life did start on that blessed day when I thought I made a shart. So well done then, ladies. You get to make babies. Yippee-yay, hoot and a holler. Just know that your fee for making a fool out of me is making 70 cents on the dollar.
Oh, fuck. This is still sad. This is still stab. You guys. It's time for the topical haiku challenge. Hi, guys. Topical haiku challenge time. The topic, most recent, is the Islamic State announces beheadings for all who insult Allah. I wish we weren't doing this one. Okay. Nelson, make yourself a target. One at a time.
I am trying not to insult Allah while I do this.
Okay, good.
All right. My first one is entitled, I Was Beheading Before It Was Cool. Insurgents these days. ISIS are just like posers. Crusades kept it real.
Juliana.
I hate haikus. So, this is my first one. I hate haikus so much. I am not sure if that is right. Oops, that was 8 words.
All right.
It had nothing to do with Allah, but.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just steal it real quick. My first is titled Xenu's Wrath. You don't scare me, pal. I hear Scientology's God does anal probes.
Corinne, make your second pass.
This one is too excited. Kill the infidel. You dare insult Allah, goddammit? Oh, shit.
Very good, very good, very good, very good.
This is called religion.
Okay.
In America, they kill gays for Jesus. In America, they kill gays for Jesus. The Bible says they're wrong. We kill for Allah. Deal.
Just deal.
It's a deal.
Deal. Yeah, deal. Good job. Jesse Jones.
Haiku number two is titled, My Jewish Fundraiser All Over Again. Mm. This is just like when I put those gingerbread men into the oven.
Yeah. Yeah. Corinne, be the first three to bring it home on the haiku challenge.
I'll try. This one is called USA. Them savage ragheads killing for their religion. Nuke 'em! Praise Jesus.
Juliana, be the second of three to bring us home.
This is titled My Haiku for John Ross. I still don't understand this. Please book me again. Please. Do it for me and Allah.
All right, then. I'll consider it. Jesse Jones.
My final haiku is, it tickles me, is titled Halal at Ya Boy. Allah, I'm saying, is Mohammed mo problems. Quran, you dig it?
That was the topical haiku challenge. Next week, we'll be doing the topical tropical haiku challenge. We're moving to our final segment of the evening called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles that we made up here at Stab Industries. Please give the synopsis based off the provided titles. Corinne, you were given the title Jack and Jill Genocide. Gabrielle, you were given The Pastimes of Pampered Pete. Jesse Jones, you were given the title Chili Cook On. Okay. Nelson. Corinne Nelson. Jack Corinne. And Jill Genocide. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Nelson. Is that what it is? What is it? Kieran?
Corinne.
Cream Corn? Okay. Corinne. Jack and Jill Genocide.
Close enough. Whatever. Okay. this is actually a Sci-Fi Channel movie. Like, it's a... Oh, no, it's okay. Thank you. it's a made-for-Sci-Fi Channel movie. And if you've ever seen any of those, you know their quality. Like, you know, Sharknado.
Yeah. You mean brilliant.
You know...
Brilliant quality.
Yeah, they're...
High quality.
I really like watching them late at night. On various things. Okay. This one, I decided to just try to copy Sci-Fi Channel's preview for it, their little trailer. I can't do the deep man voice. I'm sorry. I wish I could. So I'll do my own spin on it. Imagine a world in which water is almost non-existent. Georgette, there's fog. Quick, get the humidomes. Oh no, Georgette, she's dead. She's dead from dehydration. One company owns it all. Congratulations to another profitable quarter at the Hill. Jack, that's all thanks to you and your plan. Next year... we shall bring everything to a head.
We will break the supply of water to the entire population. It will be our most profitable year yet.
But then Jack meets Jill.
Hi, I'm Jack.
I'm Jill and I'm poor and your company sucks. Jack has a change of heart.
I've had a change of heart. I love you, Jill.
I love you too, Jack, but you have to do something for me. We need water, at least a pail. But what happens when the hill finds out?
Oh, break your crown, Jack. Oh, break your crown.
No, I'll never let you go, Jack. I'll never let you go. Starring Vin Diesel as Jack, yes, and Jennifer Lawrence as Jill. Jack and Jill Genocide. This Saturday night. At 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock and 1 a.m. on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Thank you, Corinne. Thank you, Corinne. Giuliana Gabrielli. The title you were given were The Pastimes of Pampered Pete. Giuliana Gabrielli, let's hear.
Coming May 2005, meet Pete, your typical blonde-haired, blue-eyed, had-everything kind of guy, who you will love until you hate. Watch as he wakes up at 5:30 a.m. to go to work at a small hotel. He'll spend his time working out and drinking alone until one day he meets the perfect, funniest, smartest girl.
It's raining.
Yeah, it is.
Ugh, why did I say that?
pastimes include saying I'm sorry for drinking so much.
It's just, I drink because I'm not funny. I don't think you like me.
talking about working on his motorcycle and masturbating while his too good for him girlfriend cooks dinner. It's not all love, though. Find out what he does to ruin it. You fucked her in a park on Easter?
Babe, I love you. I don't love her.
Starring Leonardo DiCaprio as Pete, written by Giuliana Gabrielli. You've never heard of her. Don't worry. You'll be on her side and not Pete's by the last scene.
Giuliana Gabrielli. Jesse Jones, please put us on your back. Take us home. Cuddle with us. And the film title you've been given is Chili Cook On. Chili Cook On.
Chili Cook On. Thank you for your purchase of your very own brand new 1964 automated chili crock pot, Mark II. Brought to you by a partnership between the General Electric Company and the Atomic Energy Commission. During the course of this film reel, we will introduce you to all of the wonders that modern nuclear chili preparation has to offer. In addition to proper safe handling of radioactive chili waste and the proper government authorities to contact in case of a chili spill or total crock meltdown. America's top culinary scientists have proven that atomic energy is the safest and most delicious means with which to prepare a good hearty stick-to-your-ribs chili. Homegrown red, white, and blue nuclear test chefs Jimmy von Tysenhausen and Bob Nausenschlitz-Reitschkopf personally put their seal of approval on every Mark II Fusion crockpot. And when you see the name von Tysenhausen Krauschlitz Reitschkopf name, you know it's made with 100% American pride. Meals made in a fraction of the time of your conventional crockpot, and with a refrigeration-free half-life of 20 to 30,000 years, your family will wonder how they ate their chili any other way. And when you take a big hearty bite of your newly atomic-powered chili and feel that warm glow of healthful, wholesome goodness, boy howdy, you'll really taste that fusion. Now, just grab reel two of this film, the glowing green bag of plutonium fuel rods, and your lead-lined Kiss the Cook apron, sold separately, and we'll get you right to step one. Duck and cover and yum.
Great job, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, contestants and non-contestants. Stab is over. One more time, Corinne Nelson, Giuliana Gabrielli, and Jesse Jones. We're on Twitter, at Stab Show. Go to our website, stabforgold.com. We're here at Luna's Cafe every first and third Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Thank you guys for coming out. Or whatever. Look at a calendar. Thank you. First and third Wednesdays.